Of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
So how do fees work on guaranteed investments? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon and welcome to the Prudent Money Radio Show. I'm your host, Bob Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you got a question for me today, please go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. I might mention the new website and go check it out. Also, while you're there, go to the question and answer section. Send me a question. I do get those questions myself. I do answer them, and I would love to hear from you today. Whatever is on your mind, question or comment, that is a resource at prudentmoney.com. While you're at the website, go check out all the resources and make sure you're signed up for the newsletter email list. That will make sure that every time we post something, you'll get notified and you'll get first dibs at it. So just make sure you sign up and you're part of the Prudent Money community. Obviously, we don't do anything with those emails except put them in a database. And you're in good shape. So that's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Well, two or three days ago, I wrote an article, which you can find at prudentmoney.com, talking about the differences between CDs, fixed annuities, and high-yield savings accounts. I specifically wrote this because there is so much information that people maybe don't understand or they don't know to be the case when it comes to guaranteed type accounts or fixed low risk type accounts. And if there is one thing that's on people's mind today, it is risk. So let's talk a little bit about this. I got a question that came in that said, related to your CD versus fixed annuities discussion, what about the cost for carrying the products? Aren't fixed annuities more expensive? Do CDs and high-yield accounts even have a cost? Everything has a cost. It's just how that cost is taken care of as far as consumers go. That's where the difference is. Let's look at it this way. Both CDs and fixed annuities are what I call net return products. And what that means is that is after all the expenses have been paid, this is the guaranteed net return that you as a consumer are going to get. So let's say fixed annuities, there is a 7-year term that they're going to get 5.45%. Well, that 5.45% that's guaranteed for 7 years is the result of all the fees taken out ahead of time, and the net is 5.45%. CDs, I guess you would say, are the same way. They are after expenses what a bank can afford to pay on a CD. And then high yield accounts, I guess, would be the same thing. Of course, everything's driven by interest rates. And you're getting what they can afford to pay after the expenses have been paid. The difference, though, in a fixed annuity and a CD is that, well, let me say the similarity is if before the term has expired, whether it's 1 year for a CD, 2 year for a, 2 years for a CD, 5 years for a fixed annuity, there is a surrender charge period or a penalty assessed. On the fixed annuities, that penalty is much steeper than on the CDs. And of course, in a high yield savings account, nobody's getting penalized because it's a liquid account. And right now, the last number I saw on a Fidelity money market account, and this is for information only, and this could change by the time I get off the radio, was 4.76%. So I had a client want to sell some stock, and was going to put it into a CD at a bank. And this particular bank was pulling the same trick that a lot of banks are pulling right now. They're stating a interest rate, say 4.75 or 4.5%, and then they're saying for a six-month CD. Well, the way the marketing lends itself, it makes it sound as if they're getting 4.5% for those 6 months when they're only getting half of that 4.5%, because that 4.5%, you only get that as if you held it for a year. Well, you're only holding it for 6 months. At this point, of course, you could renew it for another 6 months. If it was the same, then it would be a year for 4.5%. I hope that makes sense. A little bit easier to explain with visuals. But just make sure you understand how much that you would make. But the bottom line was, if your money that you're going to put in that CD is only going to make half of 4.5%, and you can leave the money in the high-yield savings account, money market account, and make 4.76% right now, then it makes sense just to leave it, unless you wanted to lock it in, unless you thought rates would be coming down. The rates in a money market can move up or down. But like I said, it is liquid. You're not penalized for moving the money out. So that's those are some of the things that you have to weigh. Bottom line, fixed annuities are probably the best bet. It's not a recommendation by any stretch, just pure numbers, black and white numbers, that if they're paying, if you're in it for the long term and you want a good interest rate, 5.45% is the highest I've seen, then it might make sense to go that route. If it's something short, something you want to keep at your bank, but you want to get more interest, CDs could make sense. And then the high-yield accounts, which I really wish they wouldn't call them high-yield accounts, because of the fact that high-yield tends to mean high-risk. But these are money market accounts that are yielding more than people actually do realize. So just a couple of things to keep in mind as you try to sort through all the information on fixed guaranteed type stuff that you can put your money in. So I hope that helped. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. I want to encourage you to go to the website, www.prudentmoney.com. There is, in the middle of the site, a sign-up tab for the Prudent Money e-letter list. This will allow you, by being on there and joining the Prudent Money community, you can get access to when we post things on the website and any specials that we're running or any giveaways or anything like that, you'll be the first to know. And you can just do that by signing up at prudentmoney.com. A couple of days ago, I wrote a piece called Fraud Involving Your Parents is Soaring. And this is something, elder abuse is something that really concerns me, because it just happens a lot. And the elderly community is an easy target. I would suggest we're all pretty much an easy target. But the elderly community is targeted heavily. I mean, I think if you took any particular age group and targeted it heavily, that you'd probably get about the same results. But this is from the FBI's 2023 Elder Fraud Report. It revealed an 84% increase in financial theft in 2022 from the year before it. It also said that investment fraud against senior citizens is up 300%. Wow. And so when I saw that, I mean, really concerns me that this is happening. So I want to encourage the adult children that still have elderly parents, that you help and that you take some precautions and help them set up set things up to where you can take precautions and make sure that they don't become part of the statistic. And by the once again, this is posted at prudentmoney.com. In fact, I wrote it yesterday. I'm a little off my days. Yesterday is when I wrote it. Now, before I start and talk through some of this, I think it's fair to say that these are not easy discussions to have with a parent that wants to remain independent, that feels like they can take care of themselves, and they most certainly can. It is a tough conversation, and then some parents won't have that conversation with their adult children. So, you know, it is what it is. You just, you're there to help. I got to tell you, from my standpoint, I would love to have somebody looking over my shoulder at all times to make sure that I wasn't taking a risk that I could have avoided. I think we all could feel that way. So I understand both sides. But as an adult child, you want to do everything that you can for your parent to keep them safe. And by implementing some of these ideas, I'm not going to say that you're going to stop fraud. You're going to either slow it down or prevent it a much higher percentage than if you didn't do anything at all. So let's talk through. It's funny. I came up with 9. You'd think I could come up with 10, but I just could not come up with a 10th one. And if you have any that you want to add to this list, I would appreciate it if you send me an email, because I'd like to share with if I missed something. I'm sure that I did. There's a lot of good tips, a lot that you can follow when it comes to fraud and identity theft and making sure that everything is protected, and because it is something, as we know, that is very, very rampant. So I'm going to go through these 9 tips on the other side of the break. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. Stick around. I will be right back.
The Word for Today is excited to announce the new official online home for the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith and Kay Smith, PastorChuck.org. At PastorChuck.org, you'll have instant access to thousands of hours of verse-by-verse teaching by Pastor Chuck Smith from Genesis through Revelation, and full access to special messages on subjects such as prophecy and much, much more. Also at PastorChuck.org, a full library of great teachings by Kay Smith, and a section where you can read some of Pastor Chuck's books online, all free of charge. So visit the new official online home of The Word for Today and the ministry of Pastor Chuck and Kay Smith, PastorChuck.org.
We've all heard heartbreaking stories about the extensive damage done to a church or a ministry when the leader falls into sin. So what are the identifying marks of good church leaders? What should we look for in elders and deacons? Find out this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Weekdays at 5:30 a.m. here on 91.3 KDKR.
In 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us to run the race of life to win the prize. Join me, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, for Running to Win. Be strengthened to finish your race with confidence.
Weekday mornings at 8 o'clock here on KDKR.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. I'm not taking questions, and if you've got a question for me, please go to the website, www.prudentmoney.com. We have redone the website, and there's a lot of resources there. Go check it out. And if you have not signed up for the Prudent Money e-letter list, make sure that you do that so we can keep you posted in real time as to things we're posting on the site. So that's all at the website, prudentmoney.com. Now, back to these 9 tips that can help slow down and maybe prevent fraud and identity theft. The first one that I would exercise is to put a credit freeze on all 3 credit reports. TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian are the 3 major credit reporting agencies that have information on file on all of your credit activities. They carry a credit report and a credit score. So what a credit freeze does, and it's free, it's a rule all over the country, so it's not just state by state like it used to be. This is one of the better things that that I believe the politicians have done, is by making this a free benefit. Now, the credit freeze locks up all three credit reports. You can't get into them unless you have this code. It's probably the best way to protect your credit reports. And so if you have to unlock it, let's say that you're going to need to get you're going to want to have someone look at your credit, maybe you're getting a new car or whatever you're doing, you have to go in and unfreeze the credit reporting agency that they use. So not that big of a deal. Just got to keep up with the passcode. And one of the best ways to protect yourself from identity theft. Number two, I still believe, and this is, maybe you're thinking this is a little bit overkill, and it might be, signing up for credit monitoring. Obviously, it's going to be an extra cost, monthly cost, but that gives you that extra layer of protection. Let's just say that if something happened and the credit freeze didn't work, well, you would know about it. What credit monitoring does is they monitor all three credit reports, and anytime anything changes, for instance, a new account, an inquiry, or whatever, you're notified by email immediately, and you can stop an identity theft in progress if that's what's going on. So like I said, it's a little bit extra money. There's varying prices on what it costs per month. A lot of it has to do with bells and whistles. And incidentally, this gets into the credit monitoring, credit protection type space, if you will, that there's a lot of companies in, and there's a lot of companies making some pretty big claims from the standpoint that they can do anything as far when it comes to your credit reports as far as protection goes. And if Joe Smith is having if someone's committing fraud against Joe Smith, well, they'll figure it out and they'll stop Joe Smith from having to deal with fraud. How they do that, the magic, and we won't get into all that. Just know that the probabilities of a lot of these claims are pretty low. So just keep that in mind. And I'm talking just about credit monitoring, pure credit monitoring. Number three, have mail transferred to your house. Now, this might be tougher to pull off. Once again, your parent probably wants to get their mail, and you can always bring it to them. But this is a great way to make sure that there's not anybody digging through your parents' mailbox and stealing mail and that kind of thing. Number four, gain online access to bank accounts and credit cards and sign up for all of the alerts that can warn you that something is occurring. I love that about credit card companies and online services, is that they will let you know if you're getting towards your credit limit. And it would be good to know that that was happening to your parent, because it may be that someone is using their credit card and that they are running that credit card up towards the limit. But this way, if you have online access, you can check on a weekly basis. You can go to bank accounts, make sure everything looks okay. Credit cards, make sure everything looks okay. And then with the alert system, it'll alert you on a variety of different things. You just have to check the box, and that will give you one other layer of protection against credit card fraud, and especially bank fraud. That's a tough one to get into. Number five, be signed up as a co-signer on each bank and savings account. To me, if only one of your parents are still living, that is almost a necessity to be on that bank account as a co-signer. That way that you know exactly what's going on and you have access to the bank account. Number seven, turn everything from paper to paperless for easier tracking. That's kind of a no-brainer. If your parent is open to it, take over the payment of bills as well. Once again, that's a tough one, because nobody wants to give away or feel like they're giving away their independence. and that could definitely feel that way. I know that with my mom prior to her passing, which is a long time ago, that I eventually took over all the bills, and she was actually relieved when I did. And so I think it does work out. It's just a little bit of a transition to go through, obviously. Coveted ninth spot. Most importantly, have a weekly talk about any financial tractions that your parent was considering or conducted that are out of the ordinary. I think that this open line of communication is so very important, because if you have someone trying to sell your parent a financial product, claiming it does this, it's guaranteed, it's paying 10%, all these things, and they feel like, oh, I can make this decision on my own. To have that open line of communication, to have them bring you in as an adult child to make sure that it checks all the boxes is so very important. And I got to tell you that there is a lot, the FBI report stated that we talked about earlier, but there is a lot of financial fraud, unfortunately, occurring. Some of the biggest in the DFW area scams that were happening over the past 3 or 4 years were involved in real estate, promissory notes, promising 10% to get your money back after a year, all these types of things. And the vast majority, once those scams were discovered and busted and people put in jail, you can see that the vast majority were elderly people that were conned into something. So you just got to know it is happening. In fact, I'll never forget this one particular scam that a local investment company was running. And if you turned it on Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, excuse me, you could go from station to station, which is all pretty much financial advisors pitching something. And this one gentleman was on two or three radio shows throughout the morning, claiming no risk, 10% return, real estate, you can get your money back in a year or you can renew it. And I thought to myself, this guy has got to be running a fraud, or he is greatly breaking all kinds of security laws. What was interesting to me, I just thought about from the standpoint of, wouldn't you want to be a little bit more covert about breaking the law and not doing it right there on the radio, as if there's no regulators driving around, maybe listening to some of these shows? That always just amazed me. But you got to know it is happening, and it's a good thing to make sure that you have that open line of communications. And the nice thing about it is, you can obviously, you would be in luck if your parent agreed to all nine steps. But even if you got just a couple of these steps, and nine being one of them, that would be a great step to be able to take. Having that line of communication open, making sure that your folks are out of harm's way. Hey, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. The Consumer Federation of America, as I wrap up today's program, posted the nation's top 10 consumer complaints. Interestingly enough, number one was auto sales and repair. Probably get that. Number two, home improvement repairs and contractors. Number three, consumer debt and credit. And I was thinking about how many complaints that would come in from consumer debt and credit, and for auto sales and repair and home improvement repairs and contractors to top that number had to be something else. Number four, retail purchase issues. Number five, landlord-tenant issues. Number six, frauds and scams. Number seven, healthcare wellness. Number eight, home furnishings and appliances. Number nine, utilities. Number 10, they had 10 on their list, travel and moving. Now, this is just of the ones that they were reported. I would suggest consumer debt and credit. Probably there were quite a bit more that were not reported, and especially identity theft. I guess that falls under frauds and scams, which is number six. Bottom line is just be careful when it comes down to making financial choices. Hopefully you're learning plenty on the Prudent Money Radio Show that you can take and make sure that you're making good decisions with what God has given you, and staying out of harm's way, because there is a lot of it, especially in environments like we're in today. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com. Send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.